elections will come to order. First bill on today's agenda is Senate File 956. Senator Roebling moves that Senate File 956 be recommended to pass and placed on general orders. Senator Olson. We're ready to vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the vote is the right way, I'm all for it. Knowing the thoughtfulness of the committee, I'm sure you would like to know a little bit more about what Senate File 956 is about. If the mic system works here.
Okay, to your bill, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 956 may sound like it's drastic, but it really is not. It terminates the Hennepin County Soil and Water Conservation District and transfers the duties to the Hennepin County. It isn't amending Soil and Water Conservation District law. It's just amending Hennepin County law. So this is not in any way, shape, or form any attempt to either establish precedent or cause any complications for soil and water conservation districts, which are doing a terrific job throughout the state. Hennepin County has, in fact, been carrying out the functions. This does not change the functions, reduce them in any way, but rather they've actually, most of them have already been transferred to Hennepin County. And with me today is the head of environmental services for Hennepin County, and she will describe the history of this process and what has brought us to this point of offering this bill.
Thank you, Senator Olson. My name is Rosemary Lavin. I'm Assistant Director with Hennepin County Environmental Services, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify about this bill today. Hennepin County is seeking the termination of the Hennepin Conservation District and transferring the remaining program responsibilities to the county. Protecting and improving water and soil resources in Hennepin County is challenging. Given the wide range of land uses, we've got a highly urbanized core. We have suburban areas as well as rural areas, and also because of the size of the county, both in population and in acreage. It becomes even more complex with the number of local units of government that have some role to play in the management of water and soil resources. Those include cities, watershed management organizations, the county, as well as the Hennepin Conservation District. The Soil and Water Conservation District structure works well in many counties. However, it's no longer functioning well in Hennepin County. And as Senator Olson said, we're proposing this change for Hennepin County only. To give you a bit of background about what's happened in terms of the Conservation District in Hennepin County over the past few years, the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners discontinued funding for the Hennepin Conservation District in 2003 due to turmoil associated with how the HCD board operated and the impact that was having on the organization. The county board saw the programs of the HCD as very important and critical for the county and chose to provide those services and educational programs related to the conservation of land and water resources through the Department of Environmental Services. Those programs included site plan reviews, water quality coordination, watershed management planning, conservation engineering services, natural resource inventories, functional assessment of wetlands, stream bank and lakeshore stabilization, agricultural best management practices, and environmental education. This change resulted in a reduction of property tax-supported expenditures by more than $250,000 annually. In the meantime, the Soil and Water Conservation District in Hennepin County continued to function at a very minimum level with one staff person drawing upon cash reserves and some grant funding from the Board of Water and Soil Resources. In 2006, Hennepin Conservation District Board representatives approached Hennepin County to discuss alternatives for delivering the remaining state-mandated Conservation District programs. The discussion was driven in part by a concern for the long-term viability of the remaining HCD programs, as it was becoming clear that the district would have insufficient funds to continue to provide the services past 2008. As a result of those discussions, a cooperative agreement was established between the district and the county to integrate the remaining district programs into the conservation services provided by the county. Since 2007, county staff has delivered all conservation services in the county. This bill will transfer the authority for the enforcement of the Wetland Conservation Act to the county and provide for the Board of Water and Soil Resources to develop a plan to allow the continuation of the remaining items, including such things as the distribution of a cost share grant and inspections of Reinvest in Minnesota easements. This change will streamline government and the delivery of conservation services at a time when hard decisions need to be made about reductions in expenditures in government. The resources used for the administration of the HCD board to handle meetings, minutes, and reporting can be redirected to on-the-ground conservation activities. It's a more efficient way of delivering conservation services and provides a reduction in the complexity of the entities involved in natural resource planning. The conservation work will be accountable to a more visible board, the Hennepin County Board, allowing for greater transparency of this work. The Hennepin County Board is positioned to receive input directly from citizens, cities, watershed organizations, and others on needed conservation services. Over time, the Hennepin Conservation District has delivered fewer conservation services directly and is on a path where it simply cannot carry out the remaining critical functions, such as the Wetland Conservation Act, on its own. It no longer has the funds to cover the county costs associated with implementing the cooperative agreement. This bill will provide a way to ensure the continued delivery of these services, the protection of our natural resources, and will redirect resources spent on administration to work on the ground. Thank you.
Hey, Senator Olson, did you have anything, any other witnesses or testifiers?
Mr. Chair, no, not at this point, and I think the conditions of the bill have pretty well been described and incorporated in her testimony. So if you have questions or for further clarification, I can tell you just from a matter of personal experience that the governance, it's always been a strange situation, and I don't know if many of you have experienced this, but when the absentee ballots start to come out, I usually get a whole cadre of telephone calls. Who do we vote for, you know, on thus and so, but particularly this Hennepin Soil and Water Conservation District. And there were several areas, and yet you weren't confined to voting in one area. You voted in all of them. And nobody had a clue of who these people were or how in the world you found out anything about them. And I've lived on a farm all my life, so I, you know, pay attention to some of these kinds of things, but it was very difficult. And I had a friend that researched and would give me some idea who might have some contribution to make to it, but people are going in and voting without any, you know, basic knowledge of it. And I think it was kind of the vagaries of one of those elections that also led to the increasing dysfunction of the board and the important decision that the Hennepin County made to deliver these services. You know, and I realize, even though it's there in name, just a few years ago, I live on a farm and along a county road, and we were having some erosion problems at the end of my fields, and they were filling up the ditch and the culverts, and we needed to do something. And the Hennepin Conservation District, which it was Hennepin County staff, came out and worked with the fellow that's renting the cropland and laid out a plan, and he, you know, graded, seeded, put it back, and if for 3 years now it's been a beautiful amenity actually at the road, and we've not had any erosion at all. So the functions are there. It's not a matter of in any way discrediting or wanting to reduce the functions of the Soil and Water Conservation District, but delivering them in a more efficient and effective way. And whether this we're not talking about trying to restructure this whole system, but for Hennepin County with its unique situation, I think this is a decision that would be wise, and I would welcome your support for this bill.
Thank you. Senator Nelson, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I just have a comment. Senator Olson, I applaud you for bringing this bill before us, a bill that actually looks at streamlining government, making it more efficient. We don't have many bills come before us where we're asked to make government smaller. And so I think that's a good thing, improving transparency. And I applaud really Hennepin County, too, because I think it's very interesting that they're, from what I understand, they're willing to take on these responsibilities. And we know that counties have challenges before them. And I'm just wondering, is there going to be additional cost incurred by Hennepin County? And I'm assuming they must be willing to take that on.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, there would be additional costs that the county would incur. It's on the magnitude of probably less than $50,000.
Ms. Nelson.
Mr. Paul,
Senator
Nelson,
sorry.
And so my kudos to Hennepin County for taking that on as part of doing business and making government better and more streamlined.
Mr. Chair and Senator Nelson, when the county approached me as to with their proposal and reviewed it and laid it out for me, I was impressed as well, because I have been troubled by it. We have the Lake Minnetonka Conservation District, the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District. I represent 20 cities in western Hennepin County. Then you have the Soil and Water Conservation District, as well as Environmental Services in Hennepin County. People are really frustrated. They're saying, what is going on here? We need to be looking. We were working on a couple of other areas of trying to streamline. Everybody values land and soil and water conservation. But the issue is, how many entities does it take to do this? And so this is one small step that will, I think, improve and continue the improvement that there has been in the delivery. And very competent staff that were with that district are with the county. They're still delivering on it. So it has not been a disruptive function in terms of service to the citizens and the property owners that need to use it.
Senator Kulesh.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think it's a good program. I'm just wondering if by changing this, there isn't some unintended consequences, such as qualifying for legacy fund dollars or Bowser funding, any of that, because we no longer have a soil and water conservation, or is the county now eligible just like the soil and water conservation districts?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kulesh, that is one of the provisions here, and okay. Bowser may have, I know Bowser does have some concerns because it is change. and there are a couple provisions in statute that are linked to the Soil and Water Conservation District. And that's why you have the continuation of continuation plan in subdivision 3 about facilitating the preparation plan to continue the administration of the remaining powers and duties and responsibilities of the district, and finding the way to transition that. And whether that needs any statutory change, or in this case, maybe a designation that the Hennepin County would carry in order to qualify. There's only, I think, the two or three areas were named that may be affected. But I think that is remedied.
Just to follow. So the eligibility for funding stays the same.
Well, that's the intent.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
This ping pong game's getting fast. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also applaud Hennepin County in bringing this streamlining forward. I'm wondering about the funding. Is it saving any funding? I appreciate the streamlining. Do we save Bowser funds or Hennepin County funds, or does the money just that was going to Bowser now just go to Hennepin County? And I like the streamlining because I think it puts more money into where we want it to go anyway, which is the services and not the administration. But I'm just curious, does the money flow right from Bowser? And pardon me if I don't actually know how the money flows even into Bowser.
Respond to that?
Yeah.
Ms. Lavin.
Mr. Chair, Senator McGuire, there are a couple of pieces of funding that come to the Soil and Water Conservation District currently. They get a general services grant that would provide for a lot of the administrative funding. They also get a cost share grant that is a pass-through that goes out to an entity for an actual on-the-ground environmental practice. What we would anticipate is that we could still handle the cost share grant, distributing those funds through the county. We would take on the cost of basically administering the Wetland Conservation Act duties through county funds.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that answer. So I'm guessing this is a good idea, and I don't know if anyone from Bowser is going to testify one way or the other on this. I'm guessing it's obviously it's going to be less responsibility for them. But would Ramsey County be looking to do the same thing? I represent Ramsey County. So I'm wondering if we think they might want to do the same thing.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair and Senator McGuire, I don't know how they are functioning, but I've not been aware of anybody else expressing that. And I think a functional organization, there should be no reason to have to change. And I think this has kind of developed over a number of years. And so it isn't kind of a knee-jerk or fly-by-night kind of proposal. And you do have a county that's got a Department of Environmental Services that has been able to handle this and has added, absorbed the staff from the district, and I think is functioning in an efficient way. You're not having to have a staff for this board that really doesn't have any other resources to do it with and paying them. They can raise their own per diems and whatever, but there will be some savings as well from not having that extra structure that really doesn't have much left to do in reality.
And Senator McGuire, I understand Bowser does have someone here to testify. They're on the list anyway.
Thank you.
Should we have them come up now? Would that be? Is this Ms. Buck? Could you state your name for the tape, please?
Yes, thank you. My name is Julie Blackburn. I'm the Assistant Director for the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources. And I just want to provide some information for clarification and correcting a bit of the information here. As far as the pass-through dollars that are provided currently to Hennepin Conservation District, those are provided through the authorities of 103C, which is the SWCD law. If there is no SWCD and our grants only goes to SWCDs, there is no other recipient for those funds that currently go to the Conservation District. So those funds, how we distribute them is on a formula basis that goes out to all the other SWCDs. So we'll take the money that would go to Hennepin Conservation District and just redistribute it to the rest of the county SWCDs. As far as the services that won't be provided, some of them are not going to be able to be provided, again, because only SWCDs have the authority to implement the RIM program. So there's no eligibility for county residents to have RIM. So there's a number of different things like that. As far as the WACA implementation, actually the county authorities will be very reduced because throughout the county, cities are the local unit of government that have WACA. So it's not a substantial amount of work that needs to be done. They sit on the technical evaluation panels. I also just want to make sure everybody understands that there is a provision in 103C currently for how SWCDs can be eliminated. And it can be through a resolution by the Conservation District Board submitted to Bowser. It can be through a petition submitted to Bowser. And then there is a referendum that goes on the next general election. They're created from a vote by public, and they are dissolved typically by a vote, for the public. So this is an exception to currently what is available for the dissolution of a soil and water conservation district. And lastly, one of the concerns that we have is that there could be additional expenses for the Board of Water and Soil Resources. The way that this is structured is that we will inherit all of the contracts, anything that the SWCD is doing, and I don't know what that is as far as any kind of obligations that suddenly will become ours as the Board of Water and Soil Resources. The continuity plan, I don't think that's a problem, except for if there is no authority under 103C for the Hennepin County to take on, there's not really going to be any duties to be transferred because they aren't going to be eligible to carry out those. That's not currently available to them. So that's just some clarification, and I would stand for any questions.
Ms. Blackburn, the dissolution process, do those, the ones you describe, are they initiated by the district or the county or the public? Can anyone initiate those? Or?
There's a couple of different ways that those are initiated. In 103C, I think it's under 225, discontinuance of districts, there's a petition that can be at least from one percent of the resident owners within a district, which in Hennepin County, you could probably stand at a mall and get that, 500 resident owners, or they can receive a petition from the organization itself. By the majority of the board, the residents, or the district board, so.
Further questions, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Blackburn, could the state statute be amended so that the RIM money in this case could go to Hennepin County, or the other one that you mentioned, some of the Bowser money? Because I imagine it's something that is in state statute, or is it federal? It's state, isn't it?
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, it is in state statute, but it's also almost in every single appropriation that we get, that who is available to implement those programs. So we would need to, you know, make sure that we pay attention to those all the way through, and certainly things become a lot more complex at that point. We had a appropriation, bonding appropriation that was going to just be for the metro area for RIM, which obviously is well used in other areas of the state for wetland creation, flood prevention. So those are the kinds of things that we would be looking at having difficulties implementing.
But, Mr. Chair?
Senator Roebling.
But it would just be a matter of where it was appropriated to. Instead of saying that in Hennepin County it's appropriated to the Soil and Water Conservation District, it would be appropriated to Hennepin County. Couldn't that be accomplished?
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, that could be accomplished. Like I said, that we would have to make sure that would we would need to tie all of those strings together quite neatly, which would make it a little bit more difficult for us implementing those type of programs, which they're implemented programmatically through a number of different grant systems that ride on 103C, other provisions that they have for the SWCD. It's a little bit more complicated as far as making sure all of the ability for the easements to be held. There's just a few more details that we need to work out there. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying there's probably a little bit more there that we need to work out.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you. I think that the first time it might be a little more complicated, but once it's in place, I would think that it would be relatively easy. But it might take some time to determine where in statute or where in the appropriation bills that money is being directed, and make sure that it would be directed appropriately so that in the case of Hennepin County is indeed the only one without an SWCD, that somehow that would be mentioned, that they would be the receiving party in those circumstances.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, I believe that that Hennepin County situation is unique. We've had conversations with Hennepin County. I think we would continue to do that. I just think that the way that it's written right now, I'm not sure that it's going to go through quite the way that's planned. If there was some time to really put together a good plan and make sure that there were the authorities, that we could vest those in somebody else the way that it's written here, then we would have some time to look at it to make sure that there is no unintended consequences.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that was the reason I made the comment that if those areas could be identified, I think one could simply put in it for the purposes of those particular areas. Hennepin County is serving as the Hennepin County Soil and Water Conservation District. I mean, you could have a link there that would make that easier for Bowser to do. And I would be happy to, if you're so inclined, to send this on its way, to work with the parties to see if we can work, if there's some specific language that would give greater comfort to Bowser, particularly in Subdivision 3, about what that plan might include or such a designation, so that it would simplify this transition. I would be happy to do that before it's taken up on the floor. This bill, there was a delayed, it is being introduced in the House, but it was mislaid, and so it will be in Monday's introduction. So it would be important, and I would appreciate if it could meet the deadline here in the Senate.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm concerned that the most dollars go to what the intended purpose is, to help with, RIM and the reasons why Bowser was created. I want the most dollars to go into the community. And so if as we've seen in this bill, that means streamlining it so that more dollars can go into the actual
service of
in service of that goal. What would you say, and I'm sorry, I missed your name.
Ms. Blackburn.
Blackburn.
Does this bill produce that goal that at least the same, if not more, dollars might go into the service? I mean, I realize I'm probably asking you a tough question here, but you did say Hennepin County is unique and that we may not see a floodgate for counties to do this. I understand counties are really strapped for money, and so they're looking for areas that they can get money to do similar types of things, but maybe not as much as another entity might. But I'm just worried about other counties wanting to do this too and what that might start. That's not appropriate. And if you could sort of say, do you support or not support this bill?
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Senator McGuire, as far as supporting or not supporting, our board has not taken a position on this. We are trying to provide clarification to the issues. As far as the money that might be going to conservation, it certainly will be no more. The question is, will there be less? And for instance, the conference committee is going on about all of the environmental funds. So what would we do in the next several years? I don't know. Certainly there is not a tremendous amount of money that goes to SWCDs right now, which is part of the problem. For Hennepin County, it might mean, $19,000, $20,000 for a general service grant. It might mean, a bit more than that for conservation dollars. As far as any eligibility, in the past, there has been eligibility criteria on a number of different grants. The current legacy appropriations that we're going under, there are some that are only available for SWCDs, some only for watershed districts. And I certainly don't want to do anything that's going to call the attention to Bowser of the legislative auditor by giving special cases to Hennepin County. So we would have to, all of those clarifications need to be really thought through to make sure that there aren't unintended consequences for other people, including the folks in that county that are doing implementation of ag BMPs or anything like that. So.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I appreciate Senator Olson's willingness to sort of work out some of those specifics so that we can clarify some of those things. And I appreciate you willingness to work on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Leanne Buck here from? Good afternoon. Welcome to the
committee. Good afternoon. I was going to say good morning, so I know where I've been. Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Leanne Buck, and I'm the executive director for the Association of Soil and Water Conservation District. And we appreciate the dialogue and the opportunity to speak today. Our board has looked at this and said at this point we are opposed to the bill. Again, soil and water districts are special purpose districts. We work with private landowners on a voluntary basis, and was mentioned it works really well across the state. We understand the issues with Hennepin. We do not have taxing authority. We're one of the very few special purpose units of government that don't have taxing authority. And so counties are a huge partner, and part of that is that encourages and deepens that partnership because counties do provide funding for district operations. I know periodically I hear county commissioners concerned with others that have taxing authority that they don't have control of. And so, again, this is a way to bridge and work with those counties on that. So the concern we have is the bill essentially terminates the district, including the citizen board. And, again, I've worked with county commissioners, and their concern at times is it is nice to have a board at the county level that is dedicated to natural resources because we have our plate full with transportation, social service issues, judicial, jails, et cetera. So having a board to look at those natural resource issues can be, and it's very helpful in many instances. So the current district does have a process, as Julie had mentioned, for the dissolution. And this has already happened in Hennepin County. 10 years ago, there was a referendum, and the voters said keep the Soil and Water Conservation District. And so the electorate advocated for a Soil and Water District. So, again, the work of the district includes being proactive And we are concerned about the precedent that's being sent here. And obviously, there's good work by soil and water conservation districts. It's a nice infrastructure that partners with both state and federal government. In many cases, we're co-located with federal government as well and bring in additional federal dollars into the state of Minnesota that might be missed if it weren't for the soil and water district infrastructure. So again, we encourage instead of removing the citizen board, we again encourage, and I know this has been a long time coming, but we would like to still encourage that the county and the soil and water district, both boards, look at how they can enhance and not streamline or lose some of the conservation opportunities that they might have before us. So again, we support the county working and coordinating on the governance issues because we do realize Hennepin is unique, considerable amount of LGUs throughout, and we want to be there to help. So thank you for the time, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Ms. Buck, your members are elected members, aren't they?
Correct. They are elected members.
And they can't levy, but we let the ones that aren't elected levy.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's a conundrum. Yep. And I think one of the things, though, again, that's where we do say we partner with the county. So across the state, county government does pay and provide services to keep those operations going.
Thank you. Further questions or comments? Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chair, the interesting part of the referendum, I was reflecting on, I don't remember that vote on the Hennepin County, probably if I thought a while, voting whether to disband the Hennepin Soil and Water Conservation District. But as a state, you know that the people, the population in this state, values soil and water conservation and whatever you name it. If without any knowledge of what the issues were and what was happening here, it's not surprising that they would turn that down and not understand what it meant or did. This is a county with a population of around a million people. I don't know what exactly the voting population is, but that is not a reflection. That's why that process is just not an effective one for changing the governance in this particular situation. The Hennepin County, I think, is to be commended for their commitment to this area and their unwillingness to sacrifice the quality of service in it. And as I said before, I'm more than happy to work through and see what changes could in fact be made that would enhance that transfer and the comfort level of, or not comfort level, but the understanding or authority of Bowser in terms of being able to move those funds so that they would not lose eligibility for what they've had before. But Hennepin County has made a commitment and is willing to continue that commitment.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the answer to these questions. I'm new to this issue here. So I appreciate that Hennepin County, in its current state, the board, supports this issue and will continue to do that. However this is written, will it continue to do that even when this board is turned over and when other people are new to the board? I mean, I want to make sure that if we allow this, that these things are still continued, even if we have a board that may not necessarily support this. We have a county administration that may not support this. I understand they do now, but I want to make sure that this stays a function of them. And if not, where are we then? Then do we have to reestablish a whole new board in Hennepin County if we, if that should happen?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, there may be things to have concerns about the Hennepin County Board, but I think their efforts and commitment to environmental services is not one of them. Somebody handed me a note, I didn't even see where it came from, but that for purposes of grants and other monies from the Bowser, Hennepin County is deemed to be a soil and water conservation district. Is that language in current law or a suggestion for an amendment?
Senator Olson, that was a possible amendment that could clarify the concern, at least as far as leaving this committee.
Okay. That would be, I would certainly support that amendment if somebody wished to offer it.
Senator Cruz probably, I think, would wish to offer that, wouldn't you?
Mr. Chairman, I will offer that verbal amendment.
So Senator Cruz moves the oral amendment, and now we Now we don't have one to read. Discussion to the oral amendment, Senator McGuire, or Senator Kalish.
Mr. Chair, I was looking for some that kind of solution. It seems like in some ways the bill is a little more complicated than it needs to be. If we can just grant the powers and the eligibility to the call the Hennepin County Board, the Hennepin County Board of Soil and Water Conservation District, it might take care of all those issues with one fell swoop without having to go into rulemaking and a whole lot of other things. So my question on that is whether or not we can legally do that.
Ms. Stengel, we can legally do it because we're the legislature. Can we do it effectively? Ms. Stengel.
I think the basic intent of this is to put a placeholder in and then spend a little bit further time to make sure that we're getting the right words to get the money in the right place, but this will convey the intent of the committee when it gets to the floor, so the floor doesn't think it's a new thing that we haven't talked about. But I think that we can put something into place to make this work, and this is a start.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, Council, would there need to be any other language that would make sure that the duties of this board continue even regardless of what Hennepin County decides they want to do? Like, if they decide they don't like this anymore, we don't want a county sitting out there without these services.
My understanding, and perhaps Senator Olson or somebody else might want to correct me if I'm wrong, but this would terminate the district, and if the county decided down the road to change how they wanted to do things, a new district would probably have to be formed to take this stuff back over. Is that?
Yeah. Senator Olson.
Or maybe that's not.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, that presumably would be an option because we have that structure in law.
Mm-hmm. We could ask Ms. Buckley.
Ms. Lyman? Or who did Ms. Bach?
Just to transfer automatically, I want to make sure I'm understanding this as well. So all the authorities would be transferred over to the county, and they would serve as both the board of the Soil and Water District and the county commissioners?
And I don't think that's quite right. Maybe the
no.
Senator Roebling.
I mean, subdivision 2 says that the powers and duties of the district regarding, that's the Wetland Conservation Act, but that are transferred to Hennepin County, and I think it is transferring their duties right to the county, by and large. I hope it covered everything, but
doesn't this plan, the way I'm reading it, is that the plan must, Bowser approves a plan, and then the county, that would be the continuation plan, is part of the legislation, so that the duties of the board would be continued under this, mm-hmm. is what my understanding is that.
Duties of them.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Lavin?
No. Mr. Chair, members, yes, the continuation plan would be meant to facilitate continuing with the things like cost share, the grant, the RIM inspections, the other duties of the HCD that aren't covered under the Wetland Conservation Act citation.
But I think Ms. Blackburn would like to give us some input on that, judging from the nodding head. And Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I do not believe that Bowser has the statutory authority to delegate authorities that are only in 103C to another unit of government. I do not believe that we currently have that authority. So even if there's a plan, we would have to come back to the legislature and say, you must do something with this because we can't make the county a soil and water conservation district. That we don't have those authorities.
Ms. Blackburn, you're not. I think the legislation does.
Right. I think it does, too.
So then I didn't hear the oral amendment. Clearly, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Sure.
I would add a new subdivision 2A that would say, for the purposes of grants and other monies from the Board of Water and Soil Resources, Hennepin County is deemed to be a soil and water conservation district.
And I think as a, yes, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I did not hear that correctly the first time, and I apologize for that. I think that if, in the interest of moving on and trying to make sure that we have a dialogue and review that to make sure that it actually does work the way that we're intending it to. We'll need some time to review it. But I think that, you know,
it's a placeholder.
It gets at what you're intending.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none. Senator Roebling renews her motion that Senate File 956.
With the amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
The amendment.
Senator Cruz.
I would like to renew my motion for the amendment. Oral amendment.
The amendment. Uh-huh. Senator Cruz renews his motion that the oral amendment be adopted. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted to the bill. Do we further discussion? Seeing none. Senator Roebling renews her motion that Senate File 956 be recommended to pass and placed on general, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on general orders. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. We'll work to make any needed changes. Thank you.
The next bill on the agenda is Senate File 64. Senator Youngbauer.
Are you on that committee? Are you on the
meeting? Shit,
it's on
tape.
Sausage and legislation, right?
Oh, you're in the district sometimes.
Next bill on today's agenda is Senate File 64. Senator Chamberlain moves that Senate File 64 be recommended to pass and placed on general orders. Senator Youngbauer, you have an amendment, the A2 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I have the A2 amendment, yes.
Okay, Senator Chamberlain moves the A2 amendment. And this is to get the bill in the shape you'd like it in?
Yes, this is the first stop, for sure, if it's not the only stop.
Any discussion to the A2 amendment?
Do we have the A2?
Do we have the A2? I had it in my packet. I don't.
I think Sam handed it out at the beginning.
It's in our packet.
It wasn't in the folder, but it was Sam's.
Oh.
Oh, it's.
It wasn't in the folder?
Oh. You will.
This one. Okay, I got it.
They were handed out.
Yeah, I've got it, yes.
I think we got it.
Just had to.
Okay. Discussion to the A2 amendment. See none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Senator Youngbauer, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and I'm very thankful that everybody came together here on a Friday to hear some of these bills. I'm a little whacked out, I guess, today. I'm in three committees at once, but I do appreciate you taking the time. So I'm going to try to be concise. And I know there's a lot of interest in this bill, and so there'll be a number of testifiers. But I want you to understand what we're looking for in Senate File 64. And members, I want you to think about the big picture. Water is a big issue. We don't think of it as a big issue in Minnesota today. People in other states.
Excuse me, I made a mistake when we started out. This this needs to be, the motion needs to be that it be referred to the Environment Committee and not to the General Register. So we're just going to amend Senator Chamberlain's motion. So this would be going to Environment. Continue.
Sorry. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I believe that it had to go there based on what some of the jurisdiction is. So anyway, water is a big issue. I work all over the country. For those new members that don't know me, my main background is water and wastewater treatment. And so I work a lot in the West where with water recycle and reuse, and water is a big issue when you don't see it everywhere. We don't take it as a big issue in Minnesota, but it's becoming a big issue, and that's where both of my files are on water and water issues. So I need you to think about it from that framework. So getting into this and drilling down on the framework, this is a small bill about water rights. It's about who owns the rights to the water beneath the property. It's about tiered pricing. When a city pulls that water out of the aquifer and then treats it and resells it to people, and it's about whether or not the city really has the rights to the water in an area to give back to somebody else at a price because it costs money to treat it. That's one of the issues I've been fighting for years is when a city sells you that water back, it's treated to drinking water standards, and now you're watering your lawn with drinking water, which is not necessary. So it gets to be about whether the property owner has the right to water their lawn with that city water that they're paying for that's drinking water now, or drilling a well in their backyard to irrigate with regular water that's becoming cheaper because of this tiered pricing. And it further becomes about people wanting to drill these wells because of the city's charging these tiered water rates to try to get conservation, but yet you think about it, members, so I'm trying to spin you the big picture and then get down to how simple the bill is. When a city requires a green space at a property, whether it's commercial or residential, they require you to have so much green space for your home or your business. And in a business purpose, it becomes even more difficult for a business owner. They have to have a large green space around their properties. And then the city further requires that you irrigate that green space to keep it green. And then they're going to tier price it, so meaning the more water you use to comply with the city's green space ordinance to keep that property green, the more you're going to pay for that water, which, again, members, is drinking water. So the bill is about well drillers here saying that the person owns the water rights under the property and that they should be able to drill a well in order to irrigate their property, even if it's on city water. And the cities are going to contend that the cities have the right. And we do have to be careful because I am cognizant of the fact that when a city puts in infrastructure, taxpayers pay for that. So if the cities aren't collecting enough to pay for that infrastructure, then other taxpayers will have that burden. So it's not as easy as it seems, but the bill's pretty much a one-liner that says that cities do not have control over that. Let me go through this. Is that a home rule charter city or a statutory city shall not regulate the construction or use of private wells. Members, the permit for a private well comes from the health department. If that private well brings up more than a certain amount of water, that permit isn't covered by the DNR. So there's other organizations that have that permitting authority, and so that's the other question is, should the city have another level of authority to control that well, or do we have enough control using the health department and the DNR to know how much water's coming out and what you're using it for? So one thing I've been fighting for years, members, is property rights, and do we have too many people doing the same job over and over? So we can get to the testimony, but those are the things you need to think about. I've tried to make it very simple in allowing people to drill wells, and that's what the well drillers are here for, assuming that we do have the property rights and own the water under our property.
So you're streamlining, and this is a jobs bill.
Streamlining, and it's the well drillers will certainly tell you it's a jobs bill. That's what they're here for, so. Members, our first testifier here, Kevin Hoppe.
Mr. Hoppe, welcome to the committee. If you can state your name for the tape.
I'm Kevin Hoppe. I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Water Well Association, as well as my own firm of H&H Well Services. To an explanation and a simplification of our bill, there's already a body of language in 103A through I that already exhausts and has been run through this body many times to make sure that our water has been maintained and kept safe. We tweak it every once in a while because we find there's a flaw somewhere, but it works very well. And under that body of law, there's a permitting system, one for drilling and construction, one for use, and that's through the DNR. Once you've hit a certain threshold, the DNR has to give an appropriation permit in order to make sure that our aquifers are never depleted. What does this bill do? You said, it's a jobs bill, and it's actually kind of a conservation bill in effect, too. Let me give you a couple examples. One's a cheese factory in rural Minnesota. They have to expend a large amount of money that could go to labor just to take out the products that the city puts in the water because it can't be put in the cheese because the cheese won't do its job to make itself. So they're spending a huge amount of money to take out the product they're putting in to make it potable. The city refuses to allow them to use a well which doesn't have all that byproduct in it. That's the type of thing that this bill corrects so that these people can lower their costs and hire more people so they can expand. Secondly, there's a business in metro area here on the west edge that's a shampoo factory. 90% of their water goes back out in a product. They're still having to pay the wastewater rates as if it's going down the sewer for that 90%. And instead of having that capital to be able to use to expand their business, it's being paid out to a city for a wastewater that's not even being used. So it's a huge problem there. The other thing, like Mike referred to, is you have schools, you have home associations, a lot of different big users of irrigation systems that are now going to be put into a tiered billing system, which is going to make it cost ineffective to water. Well, there's also ordinances that are passed that it has to be a certain color and it has to be maintained a certain way. So it's a forced economic situation on them individuals, especially with schools and their budgets. They have a less expensive way, whether it's reclaimed water from a runoff pond or it's a well. They can irrigate this other stuff easier and cheaper other ways than using potable city water. Again, realize that there's a lot of infrastructure that was talked about, and the infrastructure costs a lot of money, and a lot of it has a downtime during the winter because of the fact they put a system in based on the irrigation of the summer. So a lot of this infrastructure wouldn't have to be sized the same way if it was allowed for the landowner to be able to use water that's underneath their property instead of having to purchase it all straight from the city. This is not a bill that we're trying to take anything away from the cities. We do not try to take rights or anything away from the city. We're not trying to take their sales away. We work for the cities drilling their wells too. So either way, we're going to be working on well systems. This isn't so much a jobs bill for well drillers as it is for homeowners, irrigation people, and then a lot of commercial applications where these commercial applications are looking for funds so they can expand. And now with these tiered water rates, they don't have that extra funds anymore, and they can't do the expansion even if they wanted to because of the loss of income. I also want to point out that this regulatory scheme that's in place, it took us over 20 years under 103A through I to get put in place. So in other words, we've had a lot of hearings. We've had a lot of rulemaking. There's a lot of things put into place. For the fact, and it was brought back in the late 1980s and early 90s because it was recognized, water doesn't stay in one city. In other words, one city can have one ordinance, another one can have another ordinance. That water moves across them lines. It doesn't know. That's why it was brought all the way back to the state then so that the state can regulate, okay, if this aquifer might be 50 cities, we need to regulate that for all, not just for one or two. So that's why it was brought back to the state. That's why 103I was put into place, and other portions of 103 were put into place so that we had a global picture of our water and where it comes and goes from. I guess at this point I would be willing to answer any questions if you have any in regards to what's been said here today.
Any questions for the testifier? Senator Roebling.
Thank you. I'm wondering if the city doesn't regulate the permits for the wells and it goes like to the DNR, is that who the default would be? Because somebody would be giving permits, I'm assuming. Would it be the DNR?
Go ahead. Okay. What's your name again?
Kevin Hoppe. I'm sorry.
Mr. Hoppe.
Thank you. Actually, the permits today are done through the state of Minnesota, through the Minnesota Department of Health to drill a well. And the permits for the appropriations done through the DNR. So you have to meet a threshold of 10,000 a day or 1 million gallons a year for the DNR to be involved. So an average homeowner use would not have that, But once you get to commercial or you get to home association, you would have to have that appropriations because you're using a quantity of water that could change the aquifer.
Senator Robley.
Mr. Hoppe, so do you think the Department of Health would allow a well to be drilled by the cheese factory, for example? I mean,
they have already approved the permits. The problem is the city went and put in an ordinance disallowing it to happen.
Senator Robley.
And for, say, you have a school complex, like in my area in Prior Lake, we have the middle school across from the high school, and there's an elementary nearby. So if that district wanted to put in a well to irrigate some of its fields, do you think the Department of Health would approve that for them to have a separate well?
Realize there's a whole body in regs that has to be followed in order to be able to put a well in. In other words, we have distances of separation. There's about 300 different things we have to look at to make sure we can meet that code. That's regulated by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Excuse me, I'm wondering if anyone is here from, instead of asking Mr. Hoppe to speak for the department, is there anyone here from the Department of Health that might be helpful? Mr. Adams, if that's okay. Thanks. Mr. Adams, welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Convery. I'm with the Well Management Section of the Minnesota Department of Health. Since the Groundwater Protection Act in 1989, it set up either a notification or a permitting process for the installation of water supply wells. We established a well code based on those authorities. We generally regulate the construction, repair, and sealing of wells. We really don't have the, at least, clear authority to say that on the issue of well bans. We do delegate some of our authorities to local governments. There are 10 local well programs, 8 counties and 2 cities that regulate well construction. We also license well contractors. As Mr. Hoppe indicated, if it's the cheese plant I'm thinking of, we did receive a notification for that well, and it was the company was proceeding to install that well. Where the question came up whether or not the city could prohibit that company from installing that well. As Mr. Hoppe indicated, when the well is using more than 10,000 gallons a day, or producing more than 10,000 gallons a day, or 1 million gallons per year, at that point, they would require to obtain a permit, an appropriations permit, from the Department of Natural Resources. So we regulate the construction, repair, and sealing of wells. The DNR regulates basically the use of higher capacity wells. Typically, a domestic well will not meet those thresholds for requiring a DNR permit.
Senator McGuire?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so who regulates the distribution of water from the low distribution wells then? If the Department of Health just regulates the construction and the sealing of them, who regulates the low distribution
use?
Wells? Yeah.
Mr. Congrey.
Typically each year they're about, in a normal year, and the last few years have not been normal years in terms of well construction, there are 10 to 12,000 private wells constructed annually. Our code has standards on how those wells are constructed. They're required to be tested at the time of they are installed. But once the well is in operation, there really is no one overseeing the ongoing use of that well. The well owner is largely responsible for their own water supply, their own well.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the example given about the cheese factory, the additives that were placed in the water by the city, is that typical that cities would put additives in water? And I'm thinking of this, that there's an aquifer down there, that the city's putting the additives in, not into the aquifer. They're putting it in somewhere between the aquifer and the taking it out of the well, because you're not putting additives in the whole water supply. If someone could just help me understand this.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator McGuire, cities treat all their water to drinking water standards, assuming it's for potable use.
And is it in the aquifer?
Mr. Chair, Senator McGuire, they pull the water out of the aquifer in a well and put it through a treatment plant, treatment process. Smaller users, smaller cities may not have treatment if the water doesn't require any treatment. Bigger cities do. It is a problem in a lot of cases. St. Paul and Minneapolis both have multiple commercial users that need to take those products out of the water before they use the water in their commercial processing. And then the cities actually require them to clean up the water before it goes back into the wastewater stream. So it does become expensive for processing plants to use that water where they could be recycling some of their own water, which I've been trying to get recycling codes in Minnesota for many years. So there are other problems other than just using drinking water for irrigation.
Senator Kelash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name from the health department.
Michael Convery.
Mr. Convery, one of the things that last year we passed a bill to monitor the large aquifer that sits under the metropolitan area and all of that stuff, and what I'm wondering is if all these wells are drilled, or how is the private use monitored, or keeping track of how much water is coming out and going into it. That was the whole purpose of it, because it's such an important resource, just like Senator Jungbauer says on these. It's one of the most valuable resources we have, and I think that's some of the reason why we're trying to regulate the use in the aquifers. So could you just give me an overview of how that works and what kind of effect these wells might have on just the monitoring of them?
Mr. Convery.
I'm not entirely familiar with the legislation you were talking about last year, and is it regarding the Mount Simon Hinckley Aquifer?
Yes, I think that's.
Which in the metro area, at least in the core of the metro area, is approximately 1,000 feet deep, and it does not have the same recharge that the overlying aquifers have. So it is particularly sensitive to overpumping. In fact, its use is prohibited for higher capacity uses in the 7-county metro area. I think the bill that was introduced, I think, last year or a couple of years ago, involved extending that throughout the complete extent of that aquifer. In terms of regarding your question on water use and impacts on groundwater quantity and quality issues, again, the DNR kicks in appropriation permits at 10,000 gallons a day or 1 million gallons per year. So any uses at lower levels than that really are not overseen to any great extent.
Mr. Chair.
By the state at all.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kelash, another thing to understand is typically if you have a well in your yard and you're on city sewer and water, you're using that to irrigate, so you're going to lose some to evapotranspiration. The rest will go back in the ground and find its way back into the aquifer. If you're on a private well and septic, all of your water is used and returned into the same watershed. When you have a city system, you're pulling water out of the aquifer, and only that which is used for irrigation ever stays in the watershed. The rest of it gets flushed down the drain, which goes into a lake, stream, or river, which goes to the Gulf of Mexico, which helps that nice anoxic zone that's 6 miles in the Gulf of Mexico, never to return to the watershed. So it's been something I've been fighting since 1992 to keep those systems, to get cities to start either recycling or do their water discharge as a groundwater discharge type system. We will talk a little bit about that in the next bill. Met Council will be building the first groundwater recharge system in the city of East Bethel. It will be keep all the water that's pulled out of the aquifer back in that watershed and return it to the watershed.
Mr. Chair, Senator Jungbauer, I understand your passion for recycling and that. My question, though, is that if you have 1,000 wells pulling 100 gallons of water out a day, you meet these thresholds, or, you know, there's no limit as to how many on this that are allowed, it seems like, and that's where, you know, it may be a small thing to the, and that's what happens. It's a small thing to the individual landowner or lot owner, but it's a big thing to the overall 2 million people that may live in the metro area or another community where suddenly the water system is, it could be.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kelash, again, those systems, no matter how much they use, will only discharge into the environment. That's which gets taken up by evaporation. That can always be recharged by rain. What cities take up and dump into wastewater treatment plants that go down the lakes, streams, and rivers will never, never, never return. We need flood conditions for many years in a row in order to recharge that kind of water.
We are going to recess. You are needed in judiciary.
Okay.
We're going to recess temporarily.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, it's one of the things.